very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We thank you so very much for joining us today. We are going to be speaking on the topic of anger. Has that word creeped into your relationship? Are you dealing with that right now? Are you angry with your spouse? Well, those are some questions we'd love to help answer. And if you have some questions for Marcos, you're looking for some advice, today is a great day to give us a call. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia or anywhere in the world if you are listening online. You know, there are only 18 days, 15 hours, 55 minutes, and 27 seconds till Christmas.
Wow.
The countdown begins, 18 days. But, you know, this also is the time of year where a lot of people spend great time with family and friends, but emotions can really get the best of us. You know, people do get more depressed during this time of year, especially heading in towards the new year, just feeling like, what have I accomplished? But we really want to take today's segment and talk about a very strong emotion, which is anger. Anger. It creeps into our relationships in many ways, and we want to talk about that. So, as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. And God in heaven, thank you so much for this morning, for this opportunity to be able to bless so many through the airwaves, God. I do pray that you'll be with us this morning, be with our program, be with those who are listening, and even those who just seem to be driving right by our cities, Father, and just turning on and tuning in their radio, Father. I do pray that many will be inspired, encouraged, and motivated to draw closer to you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great, great relationship. And our theme scripture of the day comes from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. And I'm reading here from the New International Version. It says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." I say this, and I wanted to make this our theme scripture because I think we got to clarify something. Anger is not sin. It's what you do when you're angry. There's justified anger, and there's, you know, anger that absolutely has no reason behind it. And you know, people are very different. You know, they digest differently. They process their emotions differently. But at the end of the day, we're still called to be like Jesus, even when we're angry, even if it's justified. And so how has anger creeped into your marriage? You know, is your spouse angry? Mm-hmm. Are they, you know, violent when they're angry? Are they a jerk when they're angry? Are they, you know, irritable all the time, or angry and, you know, just this, you can't really even be around them. You know, it could lead to rage. But I mean, what really is going on? We want to talk about it because there's also a lot going on in the world, in our cities. You know, the stuff going on in Ferguson and, you know, a lot of times, you know, New York, you know, there's just so much going on here in nearby cities, you know, Philadelphia and, you know, parts of Wilmington, where, you know, the murder rate is just so high. And it almost seems like justice is not done. You know, things are not fair. And so a lot of times that kind of, you know, permeates to the way we treat our families. You know, how we come home, you know, we have stressful jobs and we come home and we don't mean to, but we might take it out on our loved ones, our wives, our children, our husbands. And so we do want to talk about this. Go ahead and be our first caller. We're going to give you the number and we want to hear from you this morning.
All right. Just reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
You know, Tiffany, I think a lot of times, especially in the church, Christians are embarrassed to talk about when anger is out of control. It's almost like, wow, this is something we just got to keep really private. We, you know, and very few people tend to get help until it escalates so much that they have to. Like they can't hide it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I see this. I mean, sometimes you can just tell, you get with a couple and you can tell, you know, someone's so angry. And the person, you know, the, I guess the recipient of that anger can feel very intimidated to bring things up. Like, hey, even if we meet with a marriage counselor, or a pastor, or somebody who can help you, it's like, okay, well, if I bring this up and I kind of, you know, blow the whistle, if you would, then I'm going to hear it at home or I'm going to hear it on the car drive back. And I'm really afraid. So guess what? I'll just won't say anything. I hope they do. And secretly, you're just praying in your heart that they would finally get to that point. But, you know, it's not fair and it's not fun in many ways to have to live with that, with someone who's angry. And you know, anger can be justified, like I said before. But who you're aiming and who you're directing this anger to has a lot to do with it. And what you do with it. I mean, that can be a great driving force to be passionate about a cause and make a difference. Or you can just be, you know, like I said before, just full of rage and irritable all the time. And so we do want to hear from you. How has this affected your relationship if you're married or you're planning to be married? If you've ever been in a relationship where anger was an issue, we absolutely want to hear from you this morning.
All you have to do is call 855-454-5905. And we're going to take a brief pause, but we do want you to get on the phone and we would love to speak with you because we will have more conversation after this. Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about anger. Is anger present in your marriage, in your relationship? Are you having a hard time dealing with your spouse's anger? If you have questions about how to deal with this situation, please give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go right to the phones. We have Brittany calling in from Philadelphia. Brittany, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Well.
All right. Well, what is your comment or question for us today, Brittany? We're actually talking about the topic of anger. And I believe you mentioned to our producer that you, you've been accused of being an angry person.
On and off for about 10 years. We recently had a child last year. We had our child at the latter part of last year. We do plan on getting married, but because we started our relationship so early, we're pretty young. We started our relationship so early, you know, we're still in progress of kind of launching our own lives to try to, you know, get ourselves together so we can be married and, you know. Recently, child's father's gotten into a lot of arguments, and one of the things that's been recently been brought up, well, he said it before, but it's recently been brought up is him saying that, you know, you're an angry person, you're really angry, and I'm like, you know, I argued back, obviously, that I wasn't angry, but, you know, through talking to other people and just getting their perspective on things, I have realized that I am an angry person. And I think it's because it stems from all of the things that has happened over these past 10 years that we haven't let go. And although we were children when a lot of the stuff has happened, there are recent stuff that, you know, that has just has manifested the same feelings. And, you know, it's a continuation, it seems like, that there has been infidelity within our relationship. Well, I don't know if you call it infidelity, we weren't married, but... there has been infidelity within our relationship and, you know, on numerous occasions throughout the 10 years. And
this is on his part or your part or both?
On both.
Okay.
And it sounds so long ago, but it started when we were in high school and it just kind of rippled from there. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I have felt like I want to move forward with him. I do. I know he wants to move forward with me, but I think we're at a roadblock at the moment and trying to figure out how to move past all of this stuff. We even talked about, like, you know, starting the relationship brand new, but we just don't know how. And at this point, we're kind of like frustrated because we keep going through the same cycles and we're just tired of going through the same cycle.
Okay.
We just want to get past it.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for being open and transparent about your situation. You know, a 10-year relationship is a long time. I mean, you get to know someone pretty well in 10 years. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you still get to learn and know more about each other, but you really kind of get an idea of who he is, and he has an idea of who you are. You said that you want to continue on with the relationship, but it doesn't sound like a good relationship. You know, from someone from the outside, like myself, that's just hearing you, the first question that pops in my mind is why? Why this person, and why are you trying to make it work when it seems like, you know, you've both been unfaithful to each other, you have issues with anger, you know you started off on the wrong foot, you don't have a solid foundation when it comes to Christ with your relationship. So, like, why? Well, why do you want to move forward with this person?
Well, we both have, you know, joined churches, and we both are saved. And we both have grown up, you know, to feel that we have a lot, you know, we have a loyalty that we need to preserve to not only to each other, you know, but to God. So we have tried, you know, stop having sex, stop having premarital sex. And we've tried, and we've tried to move forward with, you know, we go to church together, and we have built some type of foundation. Well, it's a foundation over a broken foundation, to start, you know, moving forward from there. But we do love each other. We always say that we do believe that we're soulmates, but we just don't know how to, like, we get along for the most part. When it's good, it's good. It's great. But when it's bad, and I'm not going to lie, because of a lot of my anger and it is my mouth. My mouth is what gets us to the negative place. Because I know, and I can say it now, that I just won't stop because I'm so angry. And some of the stuff will come up from, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. And, you know, and it would just snowball into a horrible argument. And we're just stuck at this moment.
Okay. All right. Well, Brittany, right?
Yes.
It's you're probably not going to like what I had to say, but you called, and I know you want to hear the truth. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to share something with you. It's a very strong passage, and I want you not just to hear me now, but, like, write it down, meditate on it, pray about it, and say, God, what are you trying to tell me in this situation? And then just hear the rest of what I have to say with the explanation. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a scripture here where Paul is obviously writing the second letter to Timothy, and he makes a prophecy. He makes a prediction of the future, and he calls it the last days. And I believe many people would agree that, you know, we're at the last days, or we're definitely closer than we've ever been, right? That's for sure. So in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth." All right. And then, you know, he explains some specific folks. But it's a very strong passage, and it's talking about times now where we're not obedient. And the part I want you to focus on the most, I want you to focus on all of it, but the most, verse 5, where it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. In a 10-year relationship, I mean, you just don't see the power of God in your life, in his life, in the relationship. I hear the attempts and the desire, and I think you were very eloquent when you said you're trying to put a new foundation on top of the old one, the faulty one. You can't do that, right? You got to, like, totally gut everything, get rid of everything, and start over. You know, it's like, you know what you're doing in your relationship? It's like if you had a house that had a faulty foundation and it's cracked and there's water coming in and it's you know, it's shifting, it's horrible, but you just put a little bit of sheetrock and make the inside paint, do a nice little paint job, make it look better, but it might work for a month or two, but it's right. not going to fix the problem. The problem is so much deeper, so much harder to deal with, and it's going to be very expensive. And so it's going to be painful to undo 10 years of a bad relationship, to do, you know, 10 years of anger. I mean, you have unforgiveness, and you got to forgive. Whether you decide to be with him or not, you can't keep holding on to the past. I mean, who wants to live a life saying they're forgiven, but then you bring things up from 5, 6, 7, you know, 10 years ago? You can't live that way. And you got to go back to the root. Like, what is causing the anger? There's something, there's a nerve that's being hit when your anger comes out. Have you figured out what makes you the most angry?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure what I can pinpoint at, in this moment what exactly.
Is he a liar? Does he lie to you, and does he get you
yeah.
upset? Okay, so
yeah.
his deceit gets you angry. What about?
I mean, I feel like I can't trust him.
Okay, so
I think that's the biggest issue.
So his lack of trustworthiness makes you angry. Yeah. What about at yourself? Do you ever get angry at yourself because you feel like, you know, why am I still in this relationship?
Yeah.
Why am I a fool? All right, so there are a lot of justified reasons for you to be angry. But those feelings, if you don't, you know, really focus them in the right direction, they're not going to get you anywhere. And you know what it sounds like, Brittany, you have? It's like you have like that fatal attraction relationship. Like you can't stand him, it drives you crazy, but then you love him and you can't be without him. And that's very dysfunctional. You know, I think you're going to have to make a decision, and you're going to have to map the rest of your life. Okay, you've been with him 10 years. What are the next 10 years going to look like if you keep going down the same road? I'll tell you, it's going to be the same, only it will get worse. So the same of what you've had, but it will get worse. And I'll tell you why it's worse. You're already having a child. You said you have a child on the way?
No, we have a child.
You have a child together.
About to be 1 year old, yes.
All right, so you got a 1 year old. So you'll end up 10 years from now, you'll have an 11 year old. You'll be still a single mother because you haven't gotten married in 10 years. You can't trust him. You'll be angrier. I mean, at the rate you're going. So at some point, something needs to stop. It's like, oh, okay, hold on. If I'm going to change, then I have to change direction. And it starts with, I believe, Brittany, going back and saying, is this relationship really what God has for you? And it may be. But not at the rate that it's going. So if he were to be different, you were to be different, and you come back together as two committed Christians, then yes, there's hope. But at the rate you're going, it's not going to be different. It's like you're just putting a little paint job on it, saying, hey, we're going to abstain from sex for a little while, but then you go back to, you know, you're sleeping together again. It's not change. That's not repentance. And so you have to, at some point, make a decision. What if it means he's not the man for you? And you move on. And you're like, but we have a child together. We have a commitment. Yeah, but look at the facts. I mean, talk to someone. You're talking to me. I don't know you. And I can tell you objectively, look, this looks really bad. I wouldn't wish this on my daughter. You know, is this what you had dreamt, you know, for your life, for the future? Is this what you want for your children, to have a relationship like this? There's a lot of grief, a lot of pain. So what if you're trying to make something work that it's not necessarily what God wants for you?
Well, I've been there, and I have felt that before. And like I said, we've been on and off for a while, for 10 years. So it hasn't just been, we've been trying to make it work for 10 years. It's been different things. We've grown up together. So we've, you know, broken up and dated other people and, you know, things like that. And I've done a lot of meditating and praying, especially within the last, I'll at least say, 2 years, about us, about our relationship and things like that. And there's been plenty of times that I've just threw in the towel and just said, you know, it is, we're done. I don't need to deal with this because, you know, obviously we're not happy at that given moment, you know, let's try to move forward and, you know, without each other. And this is even before we had my son and after. But it seems that every time I have prayed about it and every time I have meditated on it, the messages that I feel that I'm getting, and it's through different signs and through Bible verses and things like that, is just, you know, I should try to work. I need to figure this out and try to, and basically, and look, this is not the exact words, but basically I need to work on it with him. This is who I am supposed to be with. But for whatever reason, I guess the issues are mine that I need to deal with. And there's a lot of self growth that I'm working on. And I think that, I don't know if that's why we're still having issues, because we're still growing. So it's like in the middle of a transitional period. And, you know, things don't really come together during transitions.
I hear you. And you're trying to convince yourself of something. But you said that you've grown up together. I don't think you've really grown up yet. You're still very immature. You remind me of that high school couple that you've mentioned you were 10 years ago. Like, you're still on and off. And while you're off, you're dating other people. Like, to be honest with you,
well,
Brittany.
Well, the last 2 years, it hasn't been like that. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe you're starting to get to that point where you're finally realizing you have to mature. Okay, maybe that's the case. But here's what's going on, Brittany. You cannot see God's will when you do it your way. You can't. Yeah. And so what happens is this. If God is saying, okay, I want you to go right, but you go left, you'll never see what God is trying to show you. And so in the relationship, perhaps you're right. And maybe you've prayed and meditated and God has said, yeah, this is the one for you, but not right now or not under these circumstances. But you've messed it up. And what happens is, if you're not doing it God's way, you won't see God's will. And I don't know if I'm making that clear, but it's like,
no, you are.
And so what I'm saying to you is, look, a perfect way to know that is God's will is to stay within his will. So here's the situation, not temporarily, but absolutely no sex before marriage. And you'll know if it's clear. How do you know? Well, if you stop sleeping with him, what if he steps out and he's like, I can't deal with this? That will make it very clear that he's not willing to wait to be married. You know, if you resist that temptation, you're like, no, because our relationship can't just be about, okay, we fight and then we have makeup sex. We're not married. And so you have to stay within God's will to see his will. And that's why you haven't done it. So, again, I tell you, under different circumstances, I'm not saying he's not the one, but at this present time, the way you are, the way he is, the way you've been living, you're not good for each other. You're bringing each other down. And so sometimes the best thing to do, are you actually living in the same household or no?
No.
Okay. Well, that's healthy. That's good. So now that you're not, you know, necessarily together, what if you both just totally focus and devote yourself to your relationship with God? You know, you have a child together, really giving your heart, raising your child, and abstaining from, you know, the unhealthy parts of your relationship. And during that separation, I'm not saying or suggesting that you see other people, but that you really put it in the will of God and start working towards it. And if you feel like, okay, maybe this could be a marriage, then you're going to need a lot of guidance in marriage counseling or premarital counseling to deal with the past, so that you can leave the past in the past, so that you don't go ahead and just have a piece of paper that says you're married, but you're still holding on to the bitterness and the hurt. So you definitely have a lot of digging to do and working to do to get this on the right foundation.
Yeah.
Okay. But look, if there's anything we could do, we would love to help you. And that's what we're here for.
Maybe a good counselor.
Okay. Well, this is what you could do.
We tried it a few times, but for whatever reason, we both don't think our counselors are good. Like,
well, this is what happens though. It's a commitment. It's not just, hey, I'm going to get with someone and they're going to say some good things and kind of like wave a magic wand and we're fixed. It's like, no, I mean, I give them homework. I'm like, this is what you do. I'm here to guide you. I'm more of a facilitator and I'm going to give you scriptures and I'm going to give you spiritual guidance and I'm going to be honest, but you got to do this work, not me. So, but stay on the phone, speak to Larry, our producer, and get some more information from us. And then we'll get some from you as well. Brittany, thank you so much. We really appreciate your phone call. All right, God bless.
Have a blessed day.
All right, if you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station, and today we are talking about anger. Do you have anger in your relationship? Are you looking for advice on how to deal with the anger of your spouse or your mate? So give us a call at 855-454-5905. Marcos, we have Kim on the line from Philadelphia. Kim, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. We're doing great. I heard you had a question for us this morning.
Yes, I was just hearing what you were saying to Brittany and quoting 2 Timothy 3. And I hear you loud and clear that relates to my personal situation about how people will be in the end of days and how they will worm their way into multiple homes and control, gain control over gullible women. And you said in her situation, she wasn't married. But what if you're married to someone like that and, like, it just got to that point and you kind of felt led that you're not supposed to sign papers to get a divorce, but clearly the person is doing whatever they need to do. But, I mean, previously, up until you mentioned that to Brittany, like, I was under the mindset, you know what, if God's going to work it out, he's going to work it out. He's away from our situation, like, away from our household. He can deal with him and God on their own level, and I'll just keep moving forward.
But so are you, Kim, are you separated?
Yes, he moved out.
All right, so he moved out, but you're not divorced. Is he in a different relationship? Has he moved on? Is he unfaithful?
Yes. Okay. That's how everything got exposed, because he was in a relationship.
And he's still holding on to that relationship, or has he let it go and trying to work it out with you?
Oh, no, he could care less. He's totally moved on.
So that's different, right? You know, there are tons of scriptures in the Bible that talk about not getting divorced. It says, unless there's marital unfaithfulness. And so, not that that's a good thing, but in your case, he's broken that covenant. So you getting divorced on that base, you know, on the basis of him being unfaithful is totally scriptural. Mm-hmm. You're not, I mean, God's heart, let me just say this clearly, because sometimes when I mention divorce and sometimes folks, you know, they'll comment or we'll get some kind of, you know, negative feedback, like, hey, are we pro divorce or whatever? No, we're pro for what God is. God is for marriage. He wants marriage to be for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But he also understands that although he wants you to work it out, you can't work something out with someone that is unwilling. And so in this case, it's different if your husband is like totally repented. He realized he made a huge mistake and he's begging for forgiveness and you can work it out and your heart is hard and you're like, no, I can never forgive you. Then we have to deal with your heart. But in this case, you're saying your husband doesn't even want to work it out. He's moved on. He has a new life, basically. He's left you. Then you really don't have much of a choice, right, other than saying, hey, I mean, I need to move on. I love you, but I can't live this way. This is not the commitment we made. So my life has to go on. And then you get a divorce. So that's because he was unfaithful. So what do you do in this case? You move on. I mean, what do you do?
I guess you move on. I just felt like when the whole divorce thing happened, it happened to me very suddenly. But when you, like, have time to, like, really reflect on it, you can see the signs and the trends, like, over time. And when the divorce papers were sent to me, like, I kept reading them. And I'm like, irreconcilable difference. You didn't even try to reconcile. And, like, it just seemed like it was a lie and it was not the truth. And it was really not what God wanted.
Well, here are the irreconcilable differences. He won't repent. He's being unfaithful. I mean, how can you reconcile when someone doesn't want to? And, you know, I prefer the term, you know, instead of irreconcilable differences, it's saying, man, he stepped out. He left. He abandoned the house. Abandonment. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know why you're doing this. And, you know, scriptures to make reference to is Matthew 5, Matthew 19, both really focus, and Jesus himself is talking about divorce. And actually getting that certificate of divorce. And just one word of encouragement, Kim, you know, if you know at the end of the day you've done everything you could up until you sign those papers, then you know your heart is you know, your conscience, your heart is clear. And not to get into a dating relationship until you're actually divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so just in case you're tempted, hey, you know, there's a guy and he, you know, I'm technically almost divorced. No, don't get into a relationship until you're actually divorced, because in the eyes of God, you're still married until you're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just in case. I don't know if you are in a relationship or not, or you're entertaining it, but all I want, just in case, because you know how the devil is crafty. He'll send nice guy right now who could understand, but it's like, no, you know, he needs to understand you're still married. And at the end of the day, anything can change. And, you know, you still realize you're still married to this man until you're not, until you're divorced.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kim, thank you so much. We really appreciate your call and your great question today.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, take care. We are going to go to the next caller, I believe.
Before we do, we're actually going to go to a call, but I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and with me is my co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and we're talking about the topic of anger and how it creeps in and gets in our relationships. So, if you have a comment or question about this topic, we've had some great conversations so far. We're going to continue on the conversation with our next caller.
Yes, we have Dominique calling in from Philadelphia. Dominique, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Dominique, you had a mention that there's anger in the marriage due to infidelity. I'm going to assume that this was your husband was unfaithful?
No, it was me.
Oh, you were unfaithful. And he's angry or you're angry?
Well, I am.
All right. So explain this. So you were unfaithful, but you're angry. So what's going on?
Well, it was a series of events. First off, 26 years old. We're a young couple. We've been married for 2 years. And it happened, I guess, when we got married. We were really young. We had just had a child. Mm-hmm. And we got married about a couple months after our daughter was born.
Okay.
And I guess leading up, my husband had some issues, like childhood issues that I was still dealing with them. So I would like throw his past in his face, mm-hmm. When I would get upset. And I guess over the years that caused the buildup. So I found out that he was actually having what I would say an inappropriate, relationship with a coworker of his.
He did.
Well, first, he had an inappropriate relationship with a coworker. And as a result, I had a friend who was just a friend who, once I found out about this inappropriate relationship with his coworker, I guess all the boundaries, we began to cross boundaries. And one thing led to another. And, you know, we had sex.
Okay. Did this happen multiple times or once?
No, just once. Okay. After it happened, I confided in my husband, and he chose to forgive me. But now we're just dealing with the issue where, I don't know, it's just hard for me to get over it. I understand that he forgave me, and I'm trying to push past it, but it's hard for me to forgive myself. And we argue about it, and it's to the point where I'm like, okay, I understand that God throws your sins into a sea of forgiveness, but it's hard for me to forgive myself, and I don't want to take out my anger on him.
Now, question for you, and again, Dominique, thank you so much for being so open and transparent. You, when you're angry, are you angry because you feel like your husband kind of pushed you and you ended up doing something you didn't want to do, or are you angry that you allowed yourself to get into that situation?
A little bit of both. When it happened, it had become a point in our marriage where my husband, he began to put his hands on me physically. Mm. And so I'm confiding in my friend, and my friend is like, you know, saying all the right things. And so I felt like I was pushed. I never felt like this before in my life or in my marriage. But I felt like I was pushed, and I'm angry about the whole situation. But I do feel as though I was pushed into that situation, even though I take accountability of my actions.
Okay. Okay. So again, so you're torn and you're trying to really place, and you have what we call misplaced anger, because you're angry about something that biblically you should, right? But the Bible calls that righteous indignation. Like, man, you're angry that you went there. You're angry you messed up. But then you kind of go back and forth of not just taking that anger and making that something that helps you to repent, which I think there's a part of it that has, right? Because you cut that off. You were like, are you still friends with this person?
I am.
Okay. And that leaves me, just on a side note, I mean, sometimes, you know, we say there's just a friend, but that's, to me, that's not a true friend. A true friend is someone who would have said, listen, what are you doing? You're married. You know, I want to protect you and your relationship. I can never do this. Like, if someone that it sees you, you're about to jump off a cliff and they're like, hey, I'll join you. Let's just mm-hmm. jump together. That's not a friend that you need. That's definitely not a friend of your marriage. Yeah. And so, you know, as you're sharing these things, this person is probably thinking and hoping, and I'm just making these assumptions, but by their actions, they're hoping, man, hope it doesn't work out because we could be together and, you know, we enjoy this sin, if you would, together, where it's like, no, we can't have this. This is wrong. You're married. This is not a healthy relationship. That's why myself as a pastor, I don't just counsel women when they go through this. My wife and I do, but mm-hmm. I won't, because I never want it to be, you know, in a temptation situation, or like, hey, I can treat you better than your spouse, or hey, you know, can I cry on your shoulder? None of that stuff, because mm-hmm. the devil is real. And that's what the devil did. He took advantage of an opportunity when you were the most vulnerable, but you didn't have boundaries. So I think number one, make sure you alienate yourself and protect your marriage from people who are not really friends of your marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's number one. And I think number two, I mean, your husband has forgiven you. You gotta get to the point of forgiving yourself. Like, you know, did you mess up? Absolutely. But this can be an amazing lesson so that this will never, ever happen again in your marriage. And how do you know? You'll put up the right boundaries so that you're never in that position, no matter what happens. See, mm-hmm. because even what your husband did is painful and it's hurtful, but it still doesn't, you know, warrant for you to go out and do the same. It's like literally what you did is there was a fire your husband caused and you took gasoline and you put it on the fire. Mm-hmm. And so what you both have to do now is you really got to go through a time of healing and forgiveness. Are you studying anything specifically in the scriptures that is able to help you?
No, I'm not.
All right. I want to recommend a couple of things. Number one, I want to recommend the book of Jonah. Jonah, we all know the story, like from Sunday school, right? He's the one that he ran away. They say a whale, but the Bible says a big fish, right? He was in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. But I want to read something here to you really quickly. And I wish we had more time, honestly, Dominique. But, you know, we're limited with our time on the air, because we got some other folks waiting. But yeah, I want to read this to you really quickly. So Jonah didn't want to do God's will, so he ran from God. You know, long story short, he comes out and it says, then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it will be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I am so angry that I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for that great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left, and so many animals? And he goes on and on. And, you know, the whole issue was that Jonah was upset with God because God decided to be merciful with the Ninevites. And the Ninevites were God's people's enemies at that time. And Jonah didn't like them. And so he gives him this plant. It kind of gives him comfort. But then he takes away the plant, causes more pain, and it says that Jonah was so angry that he wanted to die. You know, these things are not from God. God allows things to happen. I'm not saying God said for you to go unfaithful, be unfaithful, or for you, but mm-hmm. God has allowed these things to happen, and you got to keep looking to him and say, okay, what is the lesson? You got to have a spiritual perspective, and here's the lesson. No one is immune. If someone like King David, who was a man after God's own heart, messed up and committed immorality and infidelity with Bathsheba, then mm-hmm. no one is immune. And so for you, Dominique, it's the great lesson to understand you're not holier than thou. You messed up because you're human like everyone else. And given the wrong or the right, you know, combination, you will fall back into sin. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, you got to have that protection in your marriage and say, listen, I'm vulnerable. He's vulnerable. How can we build something that is an affair-proof marriage? And so after you study the book of Jonah, I want to recommend, there's a book by Dr. Harley, Willard Harley. It's called His Needs, Her Needs. And the subtitle is How to Have an Affair-Proof Marriage. Okay. And so Dominique, actually, you know what? Stay on the phone. I'm going to send you a copy of this book. I love this book. I have an extra copy. So I'll send you a copy and just stay on the line and Larry will get your information. And then if you're interested and you want to talk to me some more off the air, we can.
All right. Thank you.
All right. No problem, Dominique. Give Larry our info, your info, and he'll give you ours.
All right.
All right. God bless.
All right. All right. So we want to speak with you if you have a question about how to handle the anger in your marriage. Give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905. Stay close. We're Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we'll return with more conversation after this.